Hello, and welcome to the Grappling with Fatherhood podcast, a place where we talk about the lessons learned in parenting and jiu-jitsu and where they sometimes overlap. My name is Blake Kosmeyer. I am a black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu and the father of two young kids. My co-host today, and as always, is Uday Malhotra.
What's up, everybody? Uday Malhotra here, black belt and father of two beautiful little girls.
So this week, y'all, I'm gonna give you our topic, what we're actually talking about, and then we'll hash out our usual stuff. But this week, we're talking about putting in the work on the mats and putting in the work as parents. And where obviously those two things sometimes can inform each other, and where those things are definitely inappropriate to inform each other. but before we get into that, let's just do a little check-in. Uday, how you doing today?
Dude, you know what? After last week's apocalyptic feeling that I had, like, I'm actually feeling pretty good. You know, I love springtime. You know, I this is my favorite time of year because, you know, what's the saying? Like, hope springs eternal or whatever. Like, you know, like,
nice.
Is that what it is? I don't know. Like, I just feel like springtime is like my New Year's, you know? Like, I feel like it's baseball season's back, you know, it's starting getting nice outside again. And I just, this time of year really just energizes me. And so, you know, and you guys know, I mean, I'm a big baseball fan. The Cubbies games are 10 days away at this point, at the point of recording. And so, yeah, I feel good. Everything just feels fresh, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Sorry to interrupt, but I'll tell you, you gave me some great advice the other day. And it was, you know, we were training in my backyard. And you're like, man, those whatever flowers smell really good. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? And you're like, oh yeah, the poppy seed lemon group or whatever.
The orange blossoms.
Orange blossoms.
Yeah.
And I smell it. And you're like, sometimes you pat me on the shoulder. Sometimes you just got to stop and smell the roses, Uday. And you know what? Today I took your advice, dude. Milena's on spring break. And so I hopped in the house and we played a little bit of Barbies together. You know, I put myself away from the job hunt and hung out with her for a little bit just to smell the roses with her, you know, took her for a walk and play little Barbies, and it was a great day, man. Thank you for that advice.
Yeah, I will say, yeah. Oh, of course, man. I mean, I was, it was a pleasure to, like, it's a pleasure to do jiu-jitsu on a beautiful, like, 65, 70 degree day.
Totally.
And the air smells good and, like, you know, people are good. The music's good. It was just, it was a great, great day on Saturday. And sometimes you just have to stop and say, like, man, if this isn't it, you know, I don't know what
else
is. So.
Yeah, what else you need in life, right? Yeah, yeah, man.
Yeah. So it was, it's great training this weekend too.
How are you doing?
I'm good, man. Yeah. I'm good. You know, we've just been booked.
Yeah.
Like, activity after activity after activity. Like, literally today, today was nonstop. And it's all good stuff.
Yeah.
But it's also, you got to be disciplined about, like, protecting yourself. Like, I saw this, there's this guy that I, this guy, it's art, this, musician, Bartiz Strange, that I like a lot. And he was talking about how he approaches his, like, musical career now. And he isn't, like, huge or anything, but he's made it. You know, he hustled for a long time. He's made it. And he's like, what I do is I look at my calendar and I kind of fill it up. And then I delete 20% of the things.
Nice.
And he's like, because I know that if I'm just doing that, if I'm just at capacity, like, I'm not gonna be enjoying any of the shit that I've, like, worked so hard to earn.
Yeah.
And we're not there yet, but Sunday afternoon was a little bit like that.
Well, what happened Sunday?
Sunday, you and I trained really hard Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah, try to kill each other. That was fun. By the way, I told you this before we jumped on, but, man, you're feeling very, very good. You're feeling very good these days, dude.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate that. Yeah. And, you know, that's in large part due to my training partners kind of putting me in my place and pushing me there. So thank you. This is a jiu-jitsu podcast.
Yeah.
So, like, my passing style right now, I'm really, I'm working, speaking of putting in the work, like I'm working on things that I learned from you. So I'm, I'm working on this low, heavy passing style that you have, which is different for me. I'm usually more dynamic outside passer, or I have like a very a couple specific little passes that I do. And I like your style because it's more grounded in principles versus technique. And it's a principle that like I don't – I'm a 168-pound guy who's like almost 6 feet tall, right? Like it's not really a style that I think suits me, but –
it's
when I use it and it works.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh man, this is so cool. And like, you know, I would say, I'm like, yeah, I'm not a black belt at that technique yet, but it is, I am learning a lot about it. It's cool. So it's given me a fire. Been into that.
Put me in a bit of the fire myself on Sunday with it.
Yeah. But anyways, thanks, man. And I honestly, like when I hit that pass on you, it felt like better than any other thing I've ever done, better than anything I've done in a week for sure. Like that was like because you know it, like you know that technique.
I recognize that so well. Fuck, this guy just did my shit on me right there, dude. That's great. Yeah. Well,
and you're gonna, you're gonna figure out how to, you know.
I mean, that's how we all get better, right? Like it's steps. You do something, I do something, you do something. We just continue to push ourselves and get better, man. It was awesome. It was really good.
Yeah, it was good. And like people are like, wow, what happens? Epic roll. I mean, Uday hit me up on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Probably after an edible. And and I was like, hey, bro, because Saturday we had a great session.
Yeah.
And you and I only got to roll together, I think, twice.
Yeah, a couple times.
And typically at the Gorilla Den, we roll a lot.
Yeah,
and
we had a new black belt that we had to introduce with the Rain of Fire as well.
Congrats to our friend Razak for getting his black belt.
Indeed.
But yeah, so, you know, Razak had to get Shark Tanked and we had a bunch of other stuff. And so you and I got like one round. And then the second round we got in was like my last round.
Yeah.
And it, like nobody else was rolling. It was just me and you.
Yeah.
And everybody was kind of like yelling at us. And it was like, oh man, this is really fun.
Yeah.
And so I think you had that in your mind. And you're like, dude, let's do some more of that.
I did. That's exactly what happened. So I texted you late that night. I was like, yo, and you're right. It was after an edible. And I was sitting there just kind of pondering. I was like, fuck, that was fun. I want to do more of that. Let's do that tomorrow. And and so we did it at 8 a.m. on a Sunday morning. And I did make sure to put in there after we get a few warm-up rounds in, because doing that – right off the bat is a recipe for crutches.
And I'll be honest, like you had more warm-up rounds than I did. I think I had I went and had three rounds.
Yeah.
I had like 1 8-minute round and then two rounds with black belts. So I mean, that was pretty legit. And then legit black belts. Not that we don't have legit black belts, but and then you and I went for pretty much 28 minutes straight.
Oh, we finished it off with a 2-minute round. So 30.
And then we had another 2-minute round after that. So we had 30 minutes of rolling. Dude, it's just fun. Yeah. But anyways, exhausted. Yeah. And so I got home and on Sunday afternoon and we got this acai place across the street. It's not an acai place. It's a coffee shop
that has acai.
Yeah. And it's if you're a local spot, you need to have three things, in my opinion. You need to be really nice.
Yeah.
You need to be affordable and you need to be delicious.
What was that?
And I don't know. That was crazy. sorry for those. We don't actually have video of this podcast yet, but Podcastle, the thing that we use to record this, is integrated some sort of AI feature where when I do hand movements, I don't know. Like these crazy visuals are happening over my face. That was wild, dude.
That was pretty wild.
But anyways, this place, one, if you're, and you can never get all three of those things. You could be nice. You could be nice and delicious, but it's going to be expensive, right? It could be delicious and expensive, but they're probably going to be dicks. You know, it could be, expensive and nice, but it's not going to be super tasty. So this place is expensive. But if you're nice, That's the problem I have. If you're nice, I'm going to keep going back to you. Like, that's the one thing. And so these guys are so nice. They remember Owen's name. They remember his birthday. They remember all this shit. We go there like once a week. But the acai is mediocre. But they do this thing on the weekends because it's a different person who makes it, where they put, dude, they put like a third of a tub of Nutella just right across the top.
I'm sold. The acai. You had me at Nutella, dude. I'm sold. Sold.
And we it was like to the point where Owen was complaining. Like, when you have a 4-year-old complaining about how much Nutella is in a cup, he's like, "Dad, where's the acai?" And it's just like just chocolate everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. Oh, so anyways.
You want to shout him out? What's the name of the spot? Saying,
Uptown Cafe. They're nice. They're locals. They're really sweet people. Don't go there for the acai. Go there for the environment. go there for the nice folks. It's like a $7 coffee kind of place. And you're like, oh, come on. I'm just going to go to Dunkin'. Anyways, dude, that was a very long-winded way of me telling you that on Sunday I stopped and smelled the roses for a little bit and just kind of shoved my face full of Nutella on a patio with my kid.
That's awesome. That's awesome. By the way, man. Before we jump into the topic, I got to also thank you for some advice that you gave me that you don't even know that you gave me. We're totally going to steal your idea. The girls are on spring break this week. And so me and Van were like, you know, we're trying to just be budget conscious. We were going to try and drive out to Arizona for spring training, Cubs spring training. And, even that's going to be like super expensive. Right. So we're like, what can we do that's a little bit more local, that's not as expensive. And so we're going to take them to Legoland, kind of stealing from your idea, from recently. So thank you.
Yeah, dude. Let's compare notes, man. We had such a good time. Are you guys going to spend the night down there? Or are you going to drive home?
We're going to spend the night.
I think you can make it in a day trip, but if you want to spend the night, I got some recommendations for you. We had such a good trip. If you got young kids and you're in, you know, you're within 5 hours of something, maybe even 6 hours. Let's say you're in Phoenix. It's fun, man. It's a good day. We had a blast for Owen's birthday there. Yeah, man. The only thing I would say, the food options are okay. It's okay. There's not, you know, and that you should expect that, right? It's not a huge park.
Yeah. Okay. That's good to know.
We did lunch. We did lunch. We got and this is probably on me. We got a salad and a Philly cheesesteak sandwich.
Yeah, bro, and that's on you. That's 100% on you.
weren't a lot of – yeah, you're right. But Owen got a hot dog, and he was very happy with his hot dog. You know, if you go with your standard amusement park fare, you should probably be fine.
Okay. All right. That's good to know. Yeah, we'll definitely compare notes afterwards.
Right. All right, it's just about time to jump into our topic, but really quick, we got to talk about our new segment, which is what grinds your gears.
What's grinding your gears, buddy? And, tell me.
All right, what's grinding my gears?
Yes.
Okay, this is
let it
this
out.
This is not
let okay. it out.
Okay, if you were teaching something, teaching a class, I want you to at least appear to be confident in what you're doing.
Absolutely.
And that to me goes all the way down to if you are leading warmups. Okay.
Yeah.
So if you're at an academy and somebody delegates leading the warmups to a lower belt, which just often happens, maybe a lower belt is teaching the fundamentals class, or maybe it's just an opportunity for that person to step up or whatever it is. Yeah. I want you to be confident in that role. And I want you to be confident in what you tell me to do. I don't want to say any names or anything, but I trust you. Like, you've been put into a position of authority.
Yeah.
And I just want you to own it, you know? And that's all. That's all I'll say. I just, you know, and the same thing goes with like technique. Like, you know, if you're teaching a technique, like I look at some of the people who teach at our academy and they're just very, they come in with a game plan and they have a clear idea of what they're going to be teaching. It's not wishy-washy. It's not like, oh, you could do this, but you could do that, but then you could do this. It's like, you know,
this is the move.
That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. I do. I agree. I think every part of the instruction needs to be, like I always say this, but it's true. Every part needs to be intentional, right? Like that's why I had a boss one time and he told me, he's like, his philosophy is he loves his car and he never lets anyone drive his car. And I was like, what are we talking about here, dude? He goes, think about your car like your job. And I was like, that makes a lot of sense. I don't want anybody doing my job. And I get that I can be a little control freaky in that sense, you know, like, but it's also like, you know, I take teaching very seriously. And so if I'm going to have someone teach a technique, like if I need to be out for a day, like, and you're going to cover my class, I want my warmups done the way I do my warmups. I want you to teach a technique that I have mapped out and I want you to follow the exact clock, right? So at this time, this is when we start rolling. This is what the class is going to look like. And it's just, it has to be that way, right? Like, because part of it is, A, it's my brand, right? Even if I'm not there, it's still my class. It's my brand. And every part of that has to be taken seriously so the students can have the full experience of what that looks like, right? Like, if the warm-up isn't there and the technique is on point, it's not a complete class. If the warm-up is there but the technique is whack, not a complete class. If the warm-up and technique are on point but there's no rolling, not a complete class. Right. And so all of it really, to me, to your point, has to be like a tight run ship.
And now, and I would just say, like, even if you don't believe in yourself, like, even if somebody, if you're like, oh man, like they put me into this position and I'm insecure, like the person who put you in that position believes in you. And that should be all you need to know in order to be like, okay, cool. They put me in this position because they believe I can do it.
I was teaching class on Saturday after we rolled.
Like, just borrow the confidence. Academy
and cover for somebody.
You've been put there because somebody believes in you. You can do
it. During that class, they split up the advanced and everyone does the warm-ups together. And then they split up the advanced and the beginners. And the person who's going to do the beginner class, I love this person to death. They're awesome. And they're like, hey, I think I'm supposed to do the warm-ups. And I'm like, nah. I got the warm-ups. You can do the beginners, but I want to do the warm-ups. Like, I do the warm-ups, you know? Like, and afterwards, everyone was, like, crawling off the mat after the class. And that's what I want, right? That's what I love.
Love that. Love that. All right. So this week, we'll get into it. We are talking about putting in the work. What does it mean to put in the work as a parent? So, you know, I think we'll start with you, Uday. Like, you know, what are the areas that you think you need to put in work as a parent, and kind of like, what does that process look like?
Yeah. You know, one of the things where I feel I need to, where I've always kind of felt, I mean, even before I had kids, knowing that one day I'd want to have kids, as far as like putting in the work is like just being really good about maintaining my calm and looking at things through my kids' lens. You know, and it's interesting because I do that in almost every aspect, other aspect of my life, right? So when I'm teaching or when I'm at work, I'm able to, or when I'm rolling or like when I'm with my friends, I'm able to maintain a real sense of calm when conflict arises and look at things through their perspective. And with my kids, I kind of have caught myself floating away from that from time to time. And again, I go back to the idea of being intentional and really trying and focusing hard on being intentional about how I do that. And I think, you know, look, my parents didn't like, look, no one's perfect, right? And in case they're listening to this and they want to wring my neck afterwards, sorry. But like, you know, no one's perfect. They're great parents. And they didn't really do that for me, right? Like they didn't really try and look at things through my lens. And they, you know, they didn't really have any qualms about like, you know, getting pissed off, going 0 to 60 in a minute. Right. And so, you know, whereas like, you know, you kind of think about just like walking down the street, you don't think, right? You just left foot, right foot. Whereas when I am trying to think about maintaining my calm in stressful situations with my kids, it is me thinking left foot, right foot, right? And so it's something that, you know, it's something that I really don't like about, I'll say I don't like that about myself. And it's something I'm really, you know, I'm putting in the work to try and be better at. And so to the extent that the kids don't even notice it. I don't think they have, you know?
I mean, I think, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I think that's a very relatable thing. Like that's what kind of like, I like to shoot these ideas past Becca. I know you like to shoot these past Van.
Yeah.
And like the first thing bullet that I put down was like, you know, practicing like patience and empathy in the moment. And, and like that is, it's just, it's really hard in the chaos of the moment as a parent, right? Like when kids are yelling, when you're on a time crunch, when you know you should be, you should be doing, sitting down for work or leaving for work or getting ready for work. And you have this, I have this responsibility to take care of my family. I need to, that's the priority. I have to do that. But then the kid in front of you won't put their shoes on you know what I mean? It's like, I watched this TikTok the other day and I can't believe I'm like referencing it. This woman, she's a comedian and, doesn't do a lot of parenting content. But she just had this post where she was like, you know, very emotional in the post. And she was talking about how the thing that like grounds her, but also like breaks her heart about like her shortcomings as a parent is that like, this is your kid's first time doing any of this. Totally. And it's obvious, you know, but like, it's their first time. It's their first time even experiencing the emotions that they're experiencing. Yeah. This is the first time that they're doing that. And, you know, if you like, fuck it, let's talk about jiu-jitsu. Like if you would expect a white belt who's in his first couple of months of class to know how to respond to getting baramboloed or like, you know, anything, you know, even how to do some sort of basic technique. No, that's, you know, we know that that's ridiculous. Like we would tell that white belt to relax and like, keep coming. And, you know, we would never have those expectations on them, but it's really hard as a kid. It's really hard to look at a kid who's in the throes of it. You've got all this shit, other shit going on. You really care about the kid. But just to be able to look at them and be like, God, what would it be like if this stuff was happening? These emotions were happening in my body and I have never experienced them before. I don't know. That just easy to say now at 10 p.m.,
It makes a lot of sense because, look, as adults, we spend, 90% of our day with adults if you're not like someone who works with kids, right? Like, and so when you go home and see your kids, it's so easy to forget, at least for me, it's easy to forget that like I'm talking to someone who's had their brain for 8 years, you know, not for 35, 40 years, you know what I mean? Like this person has 8 years worth of life experience, not 30, not 35, not 40, right? Like four, right? Like, and it's sometimes because they're so mature in some areas, it becomes easy to let that slip by yourself. You know what I mean? Like it becomes easy to forget that sometimes.
All right. So we can recognize the problems in ourselves, right? So how do you do the work? What does doing the work look like for you?
Totally. I think part of that is, you know, learning from some of the other parents around me who I really respect. Dude, talking to you, listening to your TikToks has given me so much insight. So I really appreciate man. But like, of course, huge, dude. Like,
likewise, dude. Like,
man.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
I think that's it. But like, it takes a community, right? Like, it takes a community. Like, having my in-laws since they moved in, like watching how patient they are with their grandkids, and I know they weren't like this with their children, but like my wife and her sisters, but watching how patient and watching how intentional they are with everything and just like learning from those around me. And honestly, I'll tell you one more thing, dude. Doing this podcast And thinking through this stuff has really forced me to be very introspective about what I'm doing well and how I want to lean into it and what I might be struggling with as a parent and how I want to continue to grow in those areas. You know, just like as I kind of think through these topics and I jot down notes as we're mapping out the episodes, right? Like, okay, how am I in these situations? What am I struggling with? And how do I want to address that, right? And then I think also it comes from, you know, really leaning on my partner, leaning on Van, right? Like what's kind of nice about our relationship is that the things that she's good at, I have an opportunity to learn from her because I'm not as good at, and vice versa, right? Like the things that I'm not as good at, she learns, she picks up things from me, right? So like,
yeah,
she's very, very thoughtful about providing them great experiences. Whereas like today, you know, if she wasn't working, she would have been like, hey, let's play Barbies. Let's go for a walk. Let's plan out a swim class for you. Whereas me, I had to be reminded like, hey, why don't you stop and smell the roses, buddy? Why don't you do that with your daughter? You know what I mean? Like, and what she struggles with sometimes is her tact in communication with the kids, right? So like when things do get heated sometimes, and I am kind of thinking left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot, my communication style acts accordingly. Whereas sometimes it's a little bit more difficult for her sometimes, right? Like, or she's not being as clear, right? She also forgets that she's talking to an 8-year-old sometimes or a 4-year-old because she's around adults all day, right? So I think we balance each other really well. But I've babbled long enough. I want to hear your answer to this, dude.
No, it's interesting. It's interesting you say that because Becca is very similar as you've like described Van, where for me, I can switch gears into playful, fun guy really easy.
Yeah.
And it's also, that's a privilege that I have because right now Becca's doing a lot of the heavy lifting in terms of parenting. I mean, we're both doing a lot. I'm a work from home dad of two kids that are almost home all the time, except for, you know, when Owen goes to preschool, like we're all hands on deck, but Becca's doing the heavy lifting. And so, you know, she's got to be the one saying no all day. And so when dad closes the laptop, he can be fun dad, and he can be, and when Owen's pushing my buttons, I have so many more buttons to push before something actually goes off because they haven't been pushed all day. You know what I mean? And so, those are just privileges I have as the guy who's in the position to work. And I know it's silly to be like, oh, like you're saying like you're privileged as the provider in the family, but in a lot of ways, like this is a whole ship that's moving together and everybody's got a really important role. But anyways, that said, I think that trade-off sometimes, you know, stepping in, like you were saying with Van, like stepping into your strengths, to, you know, and allowing them to step into theirs, is really key. You know, one thing with me that I'm like, it's so embarrassing. I am such a typical, I hate this shit. I'm such a typical guy. Like, I don't see the dirty dishes in the sink. I don't see the pile of clothes on the couch. I don't see that the floors need to be swept. And I have to be intentional about doing that. Yeah. That's my left foot, right foot shit, dude. Where I'm like sitting on the couch, like literally Becca laughs when I said this out loud, but like I'll be sitting on the couch and I'll be like, man, why isn't Becca just sitting down? And I'll like, you know, why is she? And
they just look at you. They just look at you with that venom in their eyes, like, you could be doing this. You know,
I'm so embarrassed that I'm like this, dude, but I am. I just gotta be honest, you know. And so that like I'll have to check myself. And one way that we do this is that you know, putting down Milo is like almost like my little one. It's for me, it's like such a treasure, like putting him down at night because the lights are off. He's just chilling. He's like drinking a bottle. Like we read books. Like sometimes Owen comes in there and helps read a book. And it's just, it's such a blissful time. And a lot of times I was putting down Milo just because I didn't get that much time with him throughout the day because I would work. And then I kind of would take Owen off of her hands because he needs a little bit more stuff. And so we're doing activities and going to the park and playing soccer. And, you know, So I'd be like, cool. And then I got my Owen time. Then I got my Milo time. And it's like, dude, you're just fucking winning every, you know what I mean? Like, it's, I'm just getting everything that I want. And so we've instituted this thing where pretty much every other night, like one of us, while the other one's putting down the little one, the other one closes up shop. So washes the dishes, cleans the kitchen, puts all the toys away. And Owen's actually super helpful about putting his toys away right now. He's like, something this preschool has really been helpful with. But anyways, that's just like putting in the work for me in that sense means like being really intentional about this stuff, because at least recognizing where I fall short. And then the other thing I'll say really quickly is just like an expectations versus reality thing is that like when I envisioned myself as a parent, I was like, cool, man, like I'm going to be reading all the books. And when these things happen, I'm going to be prepared. Like I'm going to have read the book about, you know, potty training. I'm going to have read the book about, you know, toddler phase and attachment styles and all this stuff. And so that when it comes up, I'm going to have all the answers. And when I was a kid, my mom had this friend, this guy, Steve, really fun guy, Steve Witsit. And Steve would always take me, we would go on adventures and stuff. You know, single parent, and my mom had like these cool friends. He was a photographer. And so sometimes we would get like model trains and stuff, or like things to build, you know, like toys that you put together. And we'd bring them home, and Steve would dump them out in the middle of the floor. And he would take the instructions and he'd put them in the other room. And we would sit there. And part of the fun was trying to figure out how to build this thing without the instructions. And then he would always say, like, It's terrible. It's not like we're building Legos though. You know what I mean? Like it's pretty simple shit. And he would say, you know, that instructions were the thing that you read at night to help you fall asleep after you've exhausted yourself trying to figure out how to fucking build this thing, which is, it's funny. You know, it sells itself out, you know, but I am now, I feel like the guy who's reading the instructions after I've tried to build the thing all day, where we'll run into something behaviorally with Owen, or like, you know, something with Milo or whatever it is. And then like that day, that night, I'm like researching like, oh God, that's what I did wrong. You know, oh, that's the thing that I need to fix. Or like, this is what he's going through. I thought I'd be ahead of the game, man. And I'm reading the instructions after I just spent hours trying to build it, you know?
God, I say it every episode, dude. You're a poet. These analogies, man.
Yeah. So anyways, in that instance, you know, for me, like putting in the work is about, you still gotta go read the instructions. Just decide if you have the time or bandwidth to do it before, or if you're going to do it afterwards. Sadly, it's more time and effort and exhaustion if you do it afterwards. But I'll be real, I'm usually reading them in bed. You know, like that's just where I'm at.
Man. Did I ever tell you what Van and I instituted in the house right before bedtime? It may help. It might be something that you guys do when the kids are a little older, but. It's really helped us, me in particular, stay on top of not letting things get out of hand from like a cleanup perspective, is we do 10 minutes, the four of us, of cleanup every night together. And so whether that's folding laundry, sweeping the floor, putting the dishes away, washing the dishes, all four of us are participating in whatever this activity looks like. And when I say the four of us, I mean not her parents, but the two kids. And so now they're taking a little ownership on, hey, you got to put your toys away. You got to put your stuff away before you go to sleep. These dishes aren't going to put themselves away, right? Like it's been super helpful. It's just 10 minutes. And 10 minutes, but four sets of hands, right? Like get a lot of stuff done. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. It's just 10. It's 10 minutes. So
10 minutes
just
by 10 minutes, people, though. 10 minutes by four people is 40 minutes.
But we're only doing the 10 minutes once.
Right.
I see what you're saying. It's equivalent to
40 minutes of work. Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. It's the equivalent of 40 minutes of work if it was one person doing it.
Absolutely. Sorry. Correct. Yeah.
That's my like hustle podcast mindset. You know what I mean? Like,
I love it. So your cheesy. Math is math, and my brother, your math is math, and I love it.
Oh man.
It's been really cool for us. So
I like that, anyway. Dude. I like that. Owen's already, he's, you know, if he can, because he's kind of, it's almost cleaning up right now. It's like this thing that he's like, he's kind of proud of, because it's a thing that he learned at school.
Nice.
So he's like, he's kind of into it. So, but I like that. I like it. If we just say, hey, 10 minutes, he likes setting timers and stuff. And he likes putting on a song while we do it. So
that's exactly what we're doing. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
Nice, man. You want to hear something kind of cool that I started doing with Milena?
Yeah, of course.
During this weekend. So
yeah,
I'm really trying to teach her to be a little more independent. And she's like, you know, really insistent. She's 8, you know, she's like, Papa, can you make my dinner? And I'm like, dude, there's nothing I'm doing that you can't do. And so I challenged her. I was like, hey, if you do something this weekend that you haven't done before, I'm going to put a dollar on the board. I think we've talked about the dollar reward system, right? Yep. And so I'm going to give you a dollar if you do something this weekend that you've never done before. And you can ask me for help if something's heavy or feels dangerous, but I want you to just figure it out. And if you make a mistake, that's okay. And she's like, all right. And I'm like, look, if it's really wild and you do something crazy, I'm going to give you $2. She's like, all right. She took the challenge and she ran with it. And like, she made her dinner by herself yesterday, and I couldn't have been happier. She like boiled the pasta. She did it wrong. She dumped out the water. She did it again. And I was like, this is great. You know, and like at 8, you know, I'll take the wins where I can get them. You know what I mean? Like she, you know what I mean? Like she put the sauce on, and then today, you know, she's home and Vanna's working and I'm trying to get stuff done too. And she's like, Papa, can you make me lunch? And I was like, I saw you make dinner by yourself yesterday. I'll hang out in the kitchen, but make it yourself. What you got? You know, show me what you got. And she did it. She threw something in the air fryer and, you know, she got herself like a balanced meal. She made herself some broccoli in there and some like pot stickers or whatever. Dude,
your 8-year-old made herself broccoli?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. There are parents listening to this that are just like, jaws are going to drop to the ground. No, right now.
Listen, everybody can do it. Everybody can do
that
it.
That is, you know, a win, bro.
Yeah, man. On Friday night, actually. So the way I got this idea is a Friday night, I decided I'm going to start a new tradition and I just want to cook on Friday nights for the family. And so I was doing it. And I was like, there's no reason Milena can't do this with me. We have like one of those like plastic knives that like cuts through stuff, but it's like plastic, so she can't cut her hand off. And so, I was like, you know, let's practice the broccoli thing, you know? So like I showed her how to do it on Friday. So Sunday, she's like, you know, I can do this. I can make my own broccoli. You know, so, and then today, this afternoon, she's like, I can cut my own broccoli. And for as many parents whose jaws gonna be on the floor, there's gonna be as many parents who be like, 8, you're late, dude. This should have been doing this by 5. So
I think it's the fact that she's electing to eat broccoli that's gonna be the thing that impresses people, not her ability to cut it.
Yeah. totally. Yeah.
Oh man. All right, dude. Let's switch gears. Let's talk a little bit about putting in the work in jiu-jitsu. What was funny about this is that, and I said this to Becca, and it's just like, I can so clearly and instinctively and intuitively tell someone how to put in the work in jiu-jitsu. And I don't think I could do that the same way. There's the same grace and confidence that I could do it in parenting. So like we have this outline for these episodes and I'm working on that section for this, I'm like, I almost wanted to fill in the jiu-jitsu section first because I was
it's
like,
easier, right?
Back of my hand.
You've been doing it longer.
You know,
you've been doing it much longer, right? Yeah.
Yeah. What is putting in the work look like in jiu-jitsu?
You know, for me, I think it looks different at each stage you're at, right? Like I think for every stage, it's just showing up, right? Like you show up to class, show up to train, you show up to drill. That is putting in the work regardless of what belt you're at. And I think it changes a little bit from there based on where you're at in life, where you're at in your jiu-jitsu journey, right? Like I think other things that don't matter where you're at though are, you know, working on the stuff you suck at. And that's particularly more important the deeper you get, right? Like the things I work on right now are the things I don't feel very confident in. The submissions I go for are the ones that I feel the least confident in. I think, you know, competing is
choke me from the, you know, choke me from the back, choke me from the back.
Yeah,
on,
I know,
Sunday,
I know.
I
did. You called me out for it too. You're like, are you going to do it? You got it. You're going to do it or what? And
I was goading you because I always tease you about taking the back, and you got me from the back. Legit, nice choke. So.
Thank you, man. Yeah. Thank you. I wouldn't even go for it though if you didn't tell me, right? Like you're gonna do it or what? And so I think, you know, putting yourself in uncomfortable positions and situations, right? And part of that is competing for some people. I think competing is part of doing the work. And I don't think you have to be a competitor to compete. And what I mean by that is, you know, just showing up to an in-house tournament. Going to like a small local tournament, this is putting yourself in a challenging situation, a situation where you may not feel confident, right? Like, and really asking yourself to do something that feels unnatural, right? It's much different than showing up to train at the gym, but it's really going to help you grow, right? These are the things that are putting in the work, you know, and asking the right questions. And I think it, like I said, it looks different as life evolves, right? Like as you get older, as we get more responsibilities, as you get better, as you get more injured, right? Like, I think one of the things that I've really challenged myself to do as I've experienced all those things is really forcing myself to slow down when the other person is not. Right. So I will try sometimes, like every now and then I'll pick like the most athletic person in the room, the biggest person in the room, and let them do their thing. And I'm going to go at my pace. And I'm still going to try and play my game at a slower pace. In fact, I'm not even going at my pace because I like to go at a pretty athletic pace, but I force myself to slow it way down because my goal is to be able to do this when I'm 60, 70, 80 years old, when I don't have the ability to reach into athleticism. And I have to force myself to lean on technique, right? And so when I'm going against a 25-year-old dude, when I'm 55 or 60, I want my technique to be doing the work, not my athleticism, because at that point, God knows what it'll be, right? So right now is me practicing for that. Slow it down to a snail's pace and see if I can defend my guard or see if I can pass your guard while you're going apeshit on me.
Would it be appropriate to say that for you, putting in the work is about being intentional with your training?
100%. You know, that's honestly, that's almost been as much of the theme as this episode is the actual episode, right? Like, it's about being intentional. Who you train with, when you train, right? Like as we get deeper into our lives, like more responsibilities, I might not have the time to train. I mean, right now I have the time to train at noon every day because I don't have a job, but like, and my kids are at school during that time. But when I re-enter society in life and and I have a job, that's not reality, right? Like training at noon every day is not reality. And training every day is not a reality, right? Because I have all the responsibilities. And so being hyper intentional about what that training looks like and when it happens. And we've talked about this before, right? You and I, we've talked about this podcast, like just being super intentional and committing to that. And so, what about you? What are your thoughts here?
So it's just because I think I like hearing you talk, like that's actually what I thought that like, I think that if I distilled down what I'm trying to say, putting in the work means being intentional. And I think that there was it's so silly, but I'm like the social media guy, but there was a TikTok that I watched about a guy, black belt training. I think he trains somewhere in San Jose. And, I don't think he's not a competitor, but he's a black belt. And he's just like, he's like, talking to somebody who's like half-assed in the warm-up, and he's like, hey, motherfucker, I'm here to get better today. Like, I showed up to get better today. If you want to half-ass this, that's fine. But like, I'm here on my time away from my job, from my kids to get better.
100%.
And And it's like, and I, dude, like there are days when I'm in the warm up listening to that dude's voice in my head, doing like jumping jacks. Where I'm like, you're a fucking black belt, dude. You can sit this one out. And like, no offense to you, Uday, I understand you've done a lot of warm ups in your life. You're riding your bike over. You're in a tight time crunch. Like, and it's probably your second or third time training that day. I'm not shitting on you for not doing warm ups. I'm just my own inspiration for warming up. Or for whatever it is, or for learning the technique, or for whatever piece of the class. So I think there are a lot of people who show up to jiu-jitsu and they let jiu-jitsu happen to them. They show up and they're like, I'm at class. I come three times a week. And eventually it's just going to happen to me. And you know what? That's true. If you just show up, you're going to get better. And like, you know, that's what I tell people, like white belts, you know, your responsibility for the first 6 months is just to show up. Everything else, you know, but at some point, and I think that's around purple belt, I really believe that your jiu-jitsu becomes your responsibility. And that is that, like, at purple belt, you probably know 90% of the techniques that you're going to learn. You've been exposed to 90% of those techniques, right? And like, you're going to just be learning the details and all of the pieces and all of the little intricacies of that stuff. Now, if you just fucking show up, another 4 years, you're going to get your black belt or whatever, another 2 years, another whatever, that's fine. But if you're intentional, then in that same time, you're going to be a fucking devastating black belt, right? Dude. So, and like, I think having the perspective I have now on the journey, like that's just a huge difference in people when they in on the path, I feel like. So again, nothing wrong with just showing up, especially if like you're a busy person, there's a lot of stuff going on in your life, and some days all you can do is show up. But, you know, I think for me, it's really keen to be like, all right, what's my agenda? What's my, like, who's driving the car? To bring it back to you, Uday, right? Like, this is my car. Who's driving the car?
Yeah.
And
I mean, I think that's good advice for just everything in life, right? Like, yes, if you show up, you will see things. Things will be good if you just show up. And if you show up with intention, you're going to see the rewards tenfold, right? When you show up with intention for your kids, when you show up with intention at your job, when you show up with intention for your partner, when you show up with intention for your friends, right? Like, we don't necessarily do all these things for the rewards, but, you know, it makes that relationship, it makes that work, it just makes everything feel that much more, I don't know, just like more, I don't know. I don't know how to articulate. You're the poet. Finish my thought.
I know what I mean? You get out what you put in, you know? Like,
thank you. Yeah.
Of course. And speaking of which, another area that I think is very important is study. And, you know, I think it's about being intentional with how you study. For example, if you wanted to learn like black belt fundamentals, there is a great BJJ Fanatics DVD.
Well done, sir.
You should pick up.
Absolutely, there is.
Sick transition, I know.
Nice. Nicely done.
Yeah.
BJJ Fanatics, yes. Check out the tutorial, guys. No Gi, Black Belt Essentials. It is ready and rocking and rolling. I believe there is still time to get the discount this month. I think it's like a 47% discount going on right now. So well worth it, my friends.
Yeah, if you want to learn the jiu-jitsu that beats my ass pretty regularly, go check it out. Uday's BJJ Fanatics. But also, link in the bio. But I think to go back to intentionality, for me, it's when you go and watch stuff on YouTube, there's this thing that happens, right? Like entertainment versus education, you know, and you start with education. You start with that, like, that Donaher video or, you know, whatever it is. And then it goes rapidly into entertainment. Yeah. And you fool yourself because you're like, oh, it's BJJ media. You know, I'm a jiu-jitsu theater. It's like, no, dude, you're like 45 minutes deep on a B-team vlog, you know, watching Craig Jones make jokes about nose beers. Like, you're entertaining yourself. You're not working to educate yourself. There's a time and place for that. That's totally fine. But like, for me, like, if you're going to watch, if you're going to go and watch tape, right? Like, be intentional about it. And so like, you know, like this example, I was at your house the other day, a couple weeks ago, and I was working on Choi Bar and, and I'm like, yeah, like I was watching, you know, I can't remember his first name, the inventor of the Choi Bar. And I was like, yeah, I was like watching
Choi.
His thing. And then
his name is Choi. Yeah, Choi. I used to train with Choi. Him. Choi. Choi, Choi. I used to train with him.
And I was like, yeah, I was watching his BJJ Fanatics, blah, 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 blah. And then, and then I was like, yeah, and then like Lachlan Giles is this thing. And then, and you're like, wait, 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 Lachlan Giles is teaching the BJJ Fanatics. I'm like, no, no. But if I want to learn the technique, like I'm going to go find five different guys that do it and look at the different 100%. Parts that they do. And then I'll try and apply those different parts to my game. Because like I said, like, I'm not built like that guy. I'm not built like this guy. There are details that this guy has that this guy doesn't have. And then you take all that information and you bring it to the lab and then you try shit out and 70% of it doesn't work. And, you know, 20% of it kind of works and 10% of it, it hits the nail on the head. And then you go back and then it, you test, retest, you know what I mean? Like that's the process. The process isn't like you've got this, this like cool shit folder on your phone and you go to the cool shit folder and then you come to class and you go, oh, I want to do a flying armbar today. You know, like, yeah.
And I'll say, dude, there's nothing wrong with having a cool shit folder on your phone.
Nothing wrong with having a cool shit folder.
But,
yeah, totally.
But
understand what it is.
I do. I do. Yeah. Right. Like, and I'll tell you, I saw that you had a question here is how do I feel about like lighter belts?
That was my question, dude. Yeah. Like, yeah. So my question was, sorry, I'll just ask you, like, how do you feel about like lighter belts, like going to those, like tutorials that are like maybe a little bit more advanced than they are and then like trying to bring it to class.
Yeah. I have no problem with people doing what they need to expand their game. Right. Like, I think that's great. You should always be thirsty for knowledge and looking for ways and avenues to continue to grow. That's awesome. Do that. And I think it's important to understand that when you watch these videos, particularly if it's like a short form video, right? Like, and you're watching like a clip on TikTok or Instagram, you're missing so much context, right? Like,
yes,
it's cool. And don't get me wrong, those moves are cool and they work. And you need to understand the context that goes into them before you try the flying backwards, upside down chimichanga, right? Like, let's work on getting out of side control first. You know what I mean? Like, let's work on securing a mount first, right? Like, let's work on like getting out of back control. And then as we lay a really unbreakable foundation and a really strong, just ground level foundation, right? That's as how we start building upon it, right? You can't build a pyramid from the tip, right? Like, you got to build it from the first floor up. And that's kind of my thoughts on, you know, lighter belts, jumping into something that may be a little advanced for them. Cool. Take a look at it, play with it, have fun with it, man, experiment, but understand that there's context that you need to understand first before this becomes an effective part of your game. And if it is, if you do adopt it into your game without that context, understand that there will be holes in your game that lead you up to that point, right?
Yeah. Love that. I love the pyramid analogy. Jordan teaches jiu-jitsu. I was listening to a podcast with him the other day. This falls into the entertainment side of pretending to do research. And he said that the problem with the way that like a lot of people learn jiu-jitsu is like you would never learn a language by researching phrases that you would rarely ever use, right? And like that's what most people do. Like, most people, like, you know what I mean? Like, they know how to talk about like they know how to like, they know like one sentence about French literature in, you know, Portuguese, and they're, yeah. and they're like, know a bunch of that stuff, but they have no idea how to have a conversation that's going to get them to being able to talk about French literature in Portuguese.
Right.
And like, it's like, yeah, like you need to have millions of conversations. Like you have yeah. so many conversations in order to get to that, to where that's going to be. And like in those conversations, then you learn the things that are actually going to help you when you get down to applying your knowledge about talking about French literature and Portuguese. So it's like, you never learn a language like that, but so many people learn jiu-jitsu like that. They learn the gotcha at the end.
Yeah.
And they don't, yeah. you know, they don't have the road to get there.
I had a white belt the other day try the buggy choke on me. And I was like, man. And you know, like, I don't like to like ruffle my own feathers, but my side control can get pretty nasty.
Oh man.
And I'm sitting on top in side control and I see he's trying to put the buggy choke on. I'm like, brother, you're going to be out of air in a second. Stop this nonsense. Save yourself. Stop this tomfoolery. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I was like, what are you doing? And so it's like, to your point, you're trying to speak like this, like mad language. And you don't even understand the alphabet.
Yeah. All right. Real talk, honest moment between you and I.
Yes.
Safe space.
Yes.
Have you ever been choked by a buggy choke?
Never. And
that's one of us.
I know.
You also have a very, like, I cannot imagine getting you in that position. Like, I need to have 6'2", 6'4" legs in order to do that to you. Just the size of your shoulders and your neck. That's a fool's
errand.
Now
that I said it, someone's gonna gun for me, you know. Now that I said it publicly and out loud, I will tell you. One of the more embarrassing moments of jiu-jitsu for me was a friend of mine who I've known since we were both blue belts. We were training at Cobrinhas for a while and we were rolling we were rolling as black belts. So we trained together as blue belts. He moved to a different school. I stayed. And then we came together again as black belts. He caught me in a freaking go-go plata.
Yeah.
And which is basically he stuck his foot in my neck and choked me with his foot.
Choked on the top of somebody's foot.
Oh God.
It's horrible.
How embarrassing. And it was one of those moments. It was one of those moments where I looked at him and I looked at myself in the mirror and I was like, you can never allow someone to catch you with this embarrassing fucking thing ever again in your life. And I told this to a friend of ours who trains with us at Gorilla Den. And of course, every time he sniffs it, he's like, I think I'm going to get my go-go plata. And I was like, no, I can't let that happen. So
yeah.
that's my
your humiliating submission. Choke. Yeah.
Exactly.
No, I got buggy choked by, it's only happened. There was somebody who used to try and do it to me all the time. And then I learned a really good defense. I mean, they never got it on me. And then I slept on someone, actually at Legacy.
Uh-oh.
And I slept on someone.
What,
and I was like,
with Belt?
I'll tell you who it was. Matt Nestor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. I mean, MMA fighter, like he's, if there was ever
very
somebody
lean,
who's built,
very long, lean
and
dude.
Ever somebody who's built for a buggy choke, it's this kid.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I was tussling, you know, like I passed his guard. Like I was stoked. Cause he's a scrappy kid.
He's scrappy.
And
yeah.
I just slept on it. And, one of his black belt instructors was on the side of the mat. And like, I just saw him give him like the look,
the wink and the nod.
Like, oh, nice. Crap. And it like, it came on and like, I know how to defend it. But yeah. I missed steps. I missed so many steps that I needed. And I was like, oh, I got a tap. I just got to eat this one. And yeah.
Dude, I'll tell you, the first time I saw the buggy choke, I was like, it was like a Saturday. And Sunday morning, I was like, went into like 8 a.m. master's class. And I was like, I want to try this. I'm not built for that shit. I'm like 5'6", 5'6" and a half. I can barely do triangle chokes. Sitting there thinking I'm going to do a buggy choke. Come on.
Yeah. If you're listening to this podcast and you have no idea what a buggy choke is, it is a move that requires having a lot of dexterity and space between your, imagine the space between your armpit and your hips, and then the space between your like hip and your knee, your femur, the length of your femur, basically. It requires a lot of, and a lot of confidence in the mobility of the joints in your knees. Like it's a sketchy submission to pull on people. So it's tricky. It's kind of humiliating because it happens to you when you're in a position of dominance. So you think, anyways, I don't think there's many people that are this deep into this podcast that don't listen to Don't Do Jiu-Jitsu, but
yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Just for context.
It's all good. No, that's good. We may have some white belts here, some blue belts, you know?
Oh man. All right. Quickly, let's talk a little bit about what putting in the work is when introducing your kids to jiu-jitsu or sports. This is great thing to think about, because it's like, yeah, okay, so what's like the groundwork? Like, what are we doing when we're pushing our kids either on the mats or into a new activity? Like, what does it mean to put in work for them?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting for me because not only am I her dad, I'm her coach, you know, she comes to my classes, right? Like, so, and she also goes to other people's classes, and, you know, I try when she goes to other people's classes, you know, everybody, all the other instructors joke that, like, you know, I don't like pulling guard, right? Like, I like, you know, you go for the takedown, you go for the 2 points on top, right? And so they like to give me a hard time. Like, I taught Milena how to pull a guard today. And, you know, I'm actually totally good. You know, teach her the way you want to teach her. And my job as a parent is to never undermine or never to chime in and just shut up and let her enjoy it. You know, let her find her own journey. And I will sprinkle in my teachings as she comes to my classes, as she asks me, as I feel it's appropriate outside of that setting to take her under my wing, I will do so, right? But I certainly will never like undermine someone, especially like, you know, sometimes the kids learn from like blue belts or purple belts. That's great. You know, that's good for the blue belt, purple belt. That's good for my kid. You know, like I'm not going to undermine a blue belt who's teaching my daughter jiu-jitsu. You know, I'm not going to tell them after the fact, like, hey, that wasn't what I would do. I would do it this way. You know, let her find her own journey. And I think it's really just about, especially at this age, man, just shutting up and letting them have fun. You know, if they suck, who cares? If they're good, who cares? If they're having fun and they just want to get better and they want to compete more, great. If they, you know, just nudge them into it and just let them have fun, man, especially at that age. If they're like, hey, I want to do private lessons. I want to compete. I want to do the whole nine. All right, cool. But if they're just like, I'm having fun and I'm training, great. That's it. I'm going to shut up and sit back. And when it's time for me to teach you, I'm going to teach you. When it's time for me to let somebody else do their job, I'm going to let them do their job, man.
Yeah.
What about you? Yeah, what do you think? When are you going to put the kids in? What are your thoughts there?
They got to go in soon. I mean, Owen just finished his soccer. I mean, I think we signed him up for another round at another school or at another program. He loved it. He took instruction so well. He knocked it he knocked it into the goal. And I think that kids surprise you, you know, when you give them the leash. Yeah. For me, like a lot of like, putting in the work is like, you know, we're parents, like, do the research, find the program, do the thing that you're going to get them into. Yeah. Right. Like I know we've been thinking about putting Owen into jiu-jitsu at Legacy for a while now.
Yeah.
And like, I know what time the classes are. I know who teaches. I know, like, we've been to more than a handful of classes to watch, like, you know, you know, and, you know, when it comes to soccer, like Becca's like read up on a whole bunch of programs. Like we've looked at, like, you know, we've asked other parents, like, you know, doing that groundwork is really helpful. And then once you're actually there, like that you've done the groundwork, like have faith and trust yourself that, like, one, have faith in your kid that they're going to give them the benefit of the doubt, you know, and like, don't rob them of the experience, like respect their experience of failure, respect their experience of triumph, and respect their experience of having another adult or you know, person in charge, telling them they do a good job or telling them they do a bad job, or maybe, you know what I mean? Like that's yeah. an experience for them to have. And so for a parent, like that's about, sometimes that's about discipline. That's about sitting back, you know, praising their wins and dusting yeah. them off when they get knocked down.
I think that's why it's worked for me. You know what I mean? Cause like I said earlier, yeah. I think I mentioned in the podcast before that, like, I am a little bit of control freaky sometimes, right? Like I want to teach my daughter jujitsu, right? I want to teach both of my daughters jujitsu. And so the work for me is shut the fuck up. Let someone else do it. She's in this other person's class. Just go take a walk, go get some coffee, just watch and enjoy the fact that your daughter is doing this amazing thing. And she's doing the same thing that you are, right? Like we yeah. have this thing that we can share together and just enjoy that. Right. Like, and so it's taken me a little bit of work to get to that point where I'm like, I don't have to chime in. I don't need to like be the guy that's like, no, Milena, you need to go for the takedown. No, fuck it. You want to pull guard? Play your game. I'll help you either way, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. Yeah. So they'll be in soon.
Good. I can't wait.
Hey, oh man, neither can I. All right, dude, let's get into Snack Attack.
Yes. So listen, I initially came here with nothing because the children gave everyone in the house a stomach bug. And I was like, it's okay. We'll skip a week, but I have yet to forgive myself for failing our audience on week two and coming with an orange as my snack. So because of this, this has haunted me for months and a year now almost. And as a result, you know, I had to go to the grocery store anyway. And so my sweet little Shea Bear, she was with me. She picked out a snack. Now keep in mind, she's four. So I had the snack earlier and it's so I'll tell you what it is. It's the Dove Silky Smooth Mini Vanilla and Chocolate Ice Cream Bars. Now, these things are about, I'd say about 2 inches in length, and they are exactly what it sounds like, right? They're like chocolate covered ice cream bars, and they're like good for like a little, like I have a sweet tooth, I need something kind of snack. And
150, 200 calories.
60 calories, my guy. Whoa. 60 calories, and they come in both chocolate and vanilla, and they're actually they're good. They're a little pedestrian. My daughter's being a little basic. No, I'm kidding. It's good. I'll tell you, it's a good little, like, I got a sweet tooth, I want something. It's perfect for that.
No, you were gonna rate it. Sorry, I cut you off. Go ahead.
I would say I'm gonna give it like a respectable 6'4". 6'6".
6'4". 6'6". 6'6". 6'6". 6'6". All right.
I'm gonna give it a respectable 6'6". Because it's a little pedestrian, because it's like not really necessarily my thing, but it serves its purpose and it serves it very well.
Yeah, man. But like, you know, yeah. I'll just say it this way: like doing simple well is hard, man. Like
you, dude, you said it.
Doing simple.
What an analogy to jujitsu. You brought it full circle, dude. Yeah,
Hodger Gracie, man. Jujitsu is simple, The bread week is the hardest week on the Great British Bake Off, you know? Like,
okay.
It's simple.
I'll take
it's
your word bread, for it.
You know? Yeah. Oh, dude, you don't watch the Great British Baking Show?
I have never seen it. Is it Netflix?
Oh my God, dude. No way. Yeah, it's amazing.
Okay. Amazing. I need to add this to the list. It's going to add it to the list as we speak.
10 out of 10. Would recommend. It's amazing. Dude, I don't know. I don't know how it holds up now. I know that like when I got into it, when I started watching it, Oh man, I just couldn't put it down. Anyways, if you're a fan of the show, you're a fan of the show. I got recommended the show by my friend Noah. Oh, by the way, friend of the pod, Noah, who listens to this. And Noah told me like he didn't have a cell phone until like 2 years ago, and like doesn't watch TV, doesn't do like he's like a, he raised and slaughtered all of the animals that were eaten at his wedding. Like he is a
intense salt dude, of the man. Earth
kind of dude, oh you know?
God. And wow. So that's impressive, Noah.
Yeah. He made his own ice cream that was at his wedding. Anyways, my friend Noah, who I would never have expected, loved the baking show. He's the one who like told me to watch this show like, I don't know, 6 years ago or something. And so I was like, okay, man, if Noah says to watch this show, I'm going to watch it. And I got hooked. So jump in.
It's you don't Netflix. Have to.
On Netflix, you don't need any context. You can jump it in any season. Yeah. It's easy background watching.
Okay. I like it.
That said, let's pay some bills. Let's talk about a sponsor of our podcast today. So hydration is super important. If you are a jiu-jitsu athlete, if you're a human, most of your body is made up of water. And our sponsor knows that, Fluid Tactical Electrolyte Drink Mix. It is a small little package of electrolytes that you can pour into, any kind of container of water to give you just that little bit extra that you need. Water is great, of course, but if you're sweating a lot, you're sweating out a lot of other stuff, a lot of salts, a lot of minerals, a lot of electrolytes that can be that need to be replenished. So, Fluid Tactical Electrolyte Drink Mix is an electrolyte replacement that helps you hydrate better than anything else. It replaces the minerals you've lost in sweat without excess sugar or added junk. It's a must-have for firefighters, construction workers, solar farmers, oil field workers, or anyone else who works under heat and stress.
And it eliminates cramps. This stuff was designed by professionals from real science. Tactical is a no-nonsense way of preventing cramps and fighting dehydration during long, hot days on the job. Super easy also. It mixes easily in water. All righty. It mixes easy in water. Just add one packet to any 16-ounce water bottle, shake it up until it's dissolved.
It's made right here in the USA. All the ingredients are US sourced and inspected for purity. Their mixing and packaging takes place in a GMP inspected and approved facility in Los Angeles, California. And it comes in five delicious flavors. You can pick from your favorite or you can get a variety pack of them. And so you can, try them all out. You can find them at livefluid.com or at Amazon. Just look for Fluid Tactical Electrolyte Drink Mix. That said, let's shift gears and talk a little bit about our pop culture recommendations. I feel like I've been sprinkling these in throughout the whole episode, but yeah, dude, I think we're about to talk about the same thing.
No, we are, because after we were sitting there dying on Sunday, we were both breathing hard. Hey, Uday, you gotta watch the show. And I took your advice, and dude, I love it. So we're both watching The Gentlemen on Netflix.
Yeah.
And Blake, this is the recommendation I needed. Thank you, dude. It is so good. I'm only two episodes in. And as a matter of fact, when we wrap up here, I'm probably gonna throw on one more episode before I go to sleep. It is so good, dude.
Yeah. I like this show so much that I paced myself. Like I was like, I don't want to wrap this up already. Like I was like, I could bang out another episode tonight. I could start another episode just so I could see how this episode resolves. And I was like, you know what, dude? Savor it. There are very few things that you enjoy as much as you're enjoying watching this show.
Yeah.
Take your damn time. Too.
I thought I was a weirdo. I'm glad I'm not the only one that does that.
No. So this is a Guy Ritchie series.
Fellow black belt, by the way.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
Yeah. I trained with him when he was a brown belt. When he was a brown belt, I was a purple belt. We trained. He's tough.
Wow. That explains so much about his movies. Guy Ritchie, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, Snatch, you know, a million other of the just the coolest British people you've ever seen in your life. Like, you know, you've never wanted to be British like you've wanted to be a British person in a Guy Ritchie movie. And it's a sort of interesting high society meets low society. You know, the clean hands have to get dirty, problem solving kind of, you know, mobby series. It is so good.
That's exactly it. How far into it are you?
Oh, I wrapped.
You finish it? Okay.
Wrapped on Sunday, I think. Yeah.
All right. And they're like, it's like easy watching too. It's not like, you know, it's not like you have to think too hard, but not to say that it's dumb because it's definitely not, but it's just like, it's fun and it moves quick and it's,
yeah.
I wonder, have you seen the movie, The Gentleman?
No.
I wonder if there's some kind of tie-in because it feels like very similar.
Okay.
Like the way you just described the show feels very similar. I haven't seen the movie either, and it was on Netflix for the longest time, but I never got around to watching it. But I kind of want to now that once I finish this.
I will say something with no spoilers.
Okay.
The brother character, God, what is his name? It's Eddie and Freddie. Yes, Freddie.
Yeah.
Quite possibly, it's hard to think of a more just annoyingly despicable person.
Yeah.
Just so well written and so well portrayed. And like, you know, when you see yourself, you know, I'm not an actor, but you watch a show and you watch the people who play the show and you're like, yeah, man, like I want to be the lead or like I want to be the villain. No man on earth wants to play the role of this guy's brother.
Yeah, no.
He is just
despicable.
He's everything you would hate. And like, man, the bravery it takes to play that guy.
So for those of you who haven't seen, he is the cause of all the problems, at least two episodes in.
He's the cause of a lot of problems.
Not spoiling anything. And every single problem the main character is facing. And immediately I was like, I know a Freddy.
Everybody does, dude.
Everybody knows a Freddy. Do you know a Freddy? Do you know Freddy Blake?
Oh, I know a Freddy, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's
a scene where Freddy is getting humiliated and the protagonist, the protagonist stands up for him. And in my head, I'm thinking, I guess I would do that for my Freddy.
Yeah.
I guess. But it would be hard. It'd be hard.
Oh, yeah. 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 And
would you stand up for your Freddy?
I would stand up by them, and that's why they continue to be Freddies.
That's exact. Yes. Yes. God damn it. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man.
So watch the show if you haven't already.
It's so good. All right. Yeah. Wrapping up takeaways, if you all are still here. I think, Uday, actually, you wrapped this up pretty well 15, 20 minutes ago when we said we could have just answered this show by saying intentionality.
Yeah.
That being intentional is how we show up for these things. It's how we do the work. Having some skin in the game.
I think that's it.
Any other way to say it than that.
No, I think it's just that, right? Like putting in the work is moving with intention. And I think it shows up in every aspect of your life, whether you're, you know, going left foot, right foot, when you're dealing with your kids, or doing that when you're at work, or doing that when you're training, or doing that, you know, in any interaction you have with any person, or in the way you you know, I'm in a job hunt right now, right? Like, it's not just blindly applying to various positions. It's being intentional about what I'm applying for. It's how I'm applying, how I'm networking to get to find my job, right? So it's like, it's being intentional about everything, every way you approach life. And I think when you do that, you're putting in the work to get better at whatever and achieve the goals you're trying to achieve.
Yeah. I think you said it.
Did I become the poet just now? Did I become the poet?
Yeah, you wrapped us up, dude. Well done.
Nice.
Well done, man. All right, y'all. Well, thank you so much for listening. If you have questions, comments, concerns, drop us a line at grapplingwithfatherhoodpod@gmail.com. You can find us both on Instagram. I am at Blake of Today. Uday is at Udjitsu.
Yes, sir. Or gorilla.den.bjj.
All right, guys. Until next time,
peace.